Okay, if you would, I've got Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11. The Holy Ghost quickened something this morning. You ready for the title? Why People Put Off Repenting. Why People Put Off Repenting. Came to me out of the blue. Got a Bible there, young lady? Yes, good disciple. Good disciple. People who listen to these CDs and on the internet and all, I bet they've drawn conclusions about the church and the fellowship and the people that listen to comments I make, you know. They do know that they need to have a Bible. I'm sorry, I'm old-fashioned. I'm of the belief that it's important to have a Bible when you study the Bible. And some people come and they'll sit there and they'll just look at me the whole time they're looking at the Bible. And you know why I think you're cheating yourself when you do that? Because this is God's Word for you, not just for me. And if you don't know how to go to the Word and look at it and read it and study it, folks, you're cheating your life. You're robbing yourself and you're going to live a carnal. Very important that we go through the Word of God. Okay? Listen, y'all, how many of y'all all week long been inundated by data and stuff coming at you from the media, from every venue, and not a lot of it comes from God's Word. So when God's Word comes, pull this thing out, blow off the dust off of it, you know, pull the cobwebs off the Bible. I hope that isn't the case. I love the Word. Recently, I had a sermon called Keep the Bible Always Within Reach. I really believe, like I have one in my car, right? I have a little New Testament. Sometimes I'm stopped by a train or something, you know, or held up. I'll pull that thing out and read it. It's important to continue to love God's Word. God will speak to you through His Word. Anyway, Ecclesiastes 8:11, because sentence, or in other words, this is King James, consequence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of man is fully set in them to do evil. Now, folks, the teaching is why people put off repenting. Really, it's summed up there. The reason people put off repenting is because consequences for evil works are not executed speedily. How many of y'all are glad for that, though? How many of you glad God doesn't sit up there in heaven with an umbrella stand full of lightning bolts ready to zap you when you blow it? Y'all not glad for it? Y'all never commit to you? And yeah, we have a merciful God. We have a long-suffering God. We have a God that will, He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, you know? We have a God who gives us space to repent, we're told in the Revelations. God, and the look at the Old Testament testimony of the forbearance of God. God prophesied through the prophet to Eli that you need to do something about your kids. And it says many years went by, and God warned him, and he didn't do it. Finally, judgment came. Finally, yes, bam-o, bad judgment. Guy was a glutton. God nailed him. He was a glutton. Basically, he's partaking in the evil of his kids, and in the end, he died. The ark was taken. The curse of God. But, you know, there was lots of years to repent. God gave him space to repent. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed. There's an attitude that falls into our lives that, well, the Lord says, you know, I can get away with it. In fact, in Psalm 50 says, you will see in your heart let's look at that. Turn to Psalm 50. The Lord nails the attitude. I mean, really nails it here. Psalm 50, verse 16. Unto the wicked, God says, what have you to do to declare my statutes? You just take my covenant in your mouth. Seeing you hate instruction, you cast words behind you. When you saw a thief, you consented with him. When you saw a thief, you consented with him. You know, to consent with a thief is to be a thief. You've been a partaker with adulterers. You've given your mouth to evil. Your tongue framed deceit. You sat and you spoke against your brother. You slandered your own mother's son. And these things hast thou done. And what? I kept silence. So you thought that I was altogether one as yourself. In other words, because I kept silence, I didn't zap you. You thought, oh, dude, I'm getting away with this. He says, but I will reprove you. Look at this. And set him in order before. Now consider this, you that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces. There's the gentle shepherd. Amen. What he's saying here, don't go there. You see the attitude? The attitude is, I can get away with this. You know? But he's not executing, therefore he's a fool. He's dumb. In fact, look at Psalm 10. Lord's quickening these to my mind. Psalm 10 verse 3, just jumping in the middle. He says, for the wicked boasts of his heart's desire and blesses the covetous whom the Lord abhors. Psalm 10, verse 4. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. In fact, the margin reads, all of his thoughts are, there is no God. And that after, the apparently the literal rendering there is, his thoughts are, there's no God. There's no consequence for my behavior. Folks, I'm telling you, this is applicable not just to the wicked, the pagan, the unbeliever. It's applicable to everybody in every context. Because the heart of the Lord is mercy. The heart of the Lord is gracious. The heart of the Lord is to give us a second, third, and fifth chance. We see that in the lives of so many of the Old Testament saints, the kings, the prophets, the great heroes of the faith who blew it. Because he was forbearing and long-suffering, Psalm 78. In fact, turn to Psalm 78. The children of Israel are a great example of that. How many a time he would have wiped them out? Psalm 78:38. After recounting the mounting, consistent, repetitive rebellions of the children of Israel, verse 38. But God, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time he turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered they were but flesh, a wind that passes away and comes not. But how often they provoked him in the wilderness and they grieved him in the desert. So again, it's an attitude we get into that somehow God's a patsy. You ever heard that phrase? He's a patsy. He's clueless. And the teaching is why people put off repenting. The reason is because the enemy basically turns the grace of God into licentiousness. Let's look at that in Jude verse 4. Jude is the second last book in the Bible. Holy Ghost is quickening these verses to me this morning, folks. Jude 4. There's only one chapter. He says, for there are certain men who crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the demons will turn God's grace into licentiousness, and in other words, license. His grace into license. You know, he's graceful, he's merciful, therefore you got license. Go for it, dude. This is why people put off repenting. And yet I want us to draw, well, we're already ready to find the airport and land this plane, because I want us to begin drawing this, to turn back to Ecclesiastes 8, verse 12. However, this is what Solomon said in response to that comment of verse 11. He said, however, I want you to understand, yes, God does not execute judgment speedily. Therefore, the hearts of men are fully set in them to do evil. They think they can get away with it. But look at this comment, verse 12. Though a sinner does evil 100 times and his days are prolonged, again, because he thinks God's a patsy, yet surely I know, look at this, it will be well with them that fear God, which fear him, and it will not be well with the wicked. Neither shall he prolong his days, which is a shadow, because he fears not before God. What he's saying is, look, bottom line is, I'm telling you, that is the biggest lie of all. Somehow you're thinking you're getting away with stuff. Somehow you're thinking you can take advantage of the forbearance and mercy of God. You don't understand. It's not going to be well with you. And you say, how is that? Well, here's the answer to that, Galatians 6. It tells you why it won't be well with you. You see, there's a deception we're talking about here, folks. It is a deception. It is a deception. And I'm illuminating the deception. Galatians 6, verse 7, read, it says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The bottom line is, when one gets a hold of the notion that God's tolerance and forbearance and patience and long-suffering is an excuse to sin, what's happening is they're becoming increasingly demonized. The heart is becoming harder and harder and harder. to the point where Paul talks about whose conscience is seared with a hot iron. Where like a scar, an old scar, there's no feeling left. Your heart is hard. And God tries, whereas early he could just breathe, he could just suggest, his spirit could just touch and you would respond. Now you don't hear his still small voice. You don't hear it when people speak. God speaks to you through people. You won't listen. So God has to then allow life circumstances, situations, and dynamics to be twisted and turned against you, in opposition to you, to try to get you to repent. And all starts at an attitude of I'm getting away with it. Anybody at all bearing witness with what I'm saying? Is it in the Word? Why people put off repenting? Why? Because Satan is right there saying, dude, you can have your cake. You can have ice cream. You can have icing. Go ahead and throw in a couple of candy bars. You can eat it all. The whole deal. Get away with it. God's just a big old Santa Claus. Well, here's the thing. God will forgive you. Oh, God will forgive you. He's a loving God. I just, you know, mess around. Granted, it's a bit of a gamble, but at some point, repent, and God will totally wipe it clean, and you're in like Flint. You know that attitude there. Right there, you are severely demonized. And God will forgive you. But did you know forgiveness does not deliver you? I'm going to say it again. Forgiveness does not deliver you of the demons. He'll forgive you, but you'll be demonized. And you'll be useless to him because your heart is hard. In fact, the likelihood of falling back into the attitude is very prevalent and possible. Amen? Because you've got it. You don't fear the Lord. There's no fear of God. Fear of the Lord means I'm going to reap what I sow. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is to depart from evil. And the whole teaching series I've been doing sometime, I may shift back into it for a while, we do reap what we sow. In fact, he says right here, in well-doing, you reap eternal life. Well, that's a message people don't see. I thought I had eternal life, eternal event. No? Eternal life is a life. It's not just an event. You get saved, okay, I'm going to heaven. No. You get saved, now you got an open door to live a righteous life of holiness and righteousness and fear of the Lord. And walk humbly and work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And press into the mark of the prize of the high calling. And to finish the course, for he that endures to the end will be saved. And inherit eternal life. Boy, that's an unpopular teaching, but it's the truth. Because many are going to come in that day and not understand and say, Lord, Lord, I don't understand. I've done all these wonderful works. You said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Because you presumed, you assumed, you thought somehow you had a license and you treated me as a patsy. And I'm a holy God. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. So in conclusion, 2 John 8. Let me tell you the worst experience of the universe. Well, the second worst. The worst experience of the universe is going to hell. And there's probably degrees of worse than that. Because to me, the wading pool of hell is just as bad as the deep end. Fire is fire. But I'm going to tell you the worst experience for a believer. Bar none. 2 John 8. Right after 1 John. King James, the last place we're going to look, says, listen, look to yourselves that we lose not the things that we have wrought or gained, but that we receive a full reward. You know, the worst experience of life, without a doubt, I believe for a believer, is to realize you wasted your life. You see the loss, the possibility, and you squandered it like Esau for a bowl of porridge. The worst experience that you had a potential and you didn't fulfill it in this brief shadow thing called life. What a horror. I really believe that's where he says he'll wipe away tears at the Bema Seat judgment of Christ, because we will see those who are, praise, attain unto, praise God, by his mercy and grace. I can attain unto eternal life. To realize that you were not faithful. That you put off repenting. Why? Because of the lie. And what is the lie? He'll forgive you. See, he will forgive you. But again, forgiveness doesn't mean deliverance. He will forgive you, but there needs to be repentance to get deliverance. And repentance means acknowledging the truth. 2 Timothy 2 says, in meekness, instructing those that are deceived, if perhaps God will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may be delivered from the captivity of him that holds them at his own will. And so the thing we need to repent of is the lie, the deception. And what's the prime lie? The thing that takes away is from the fear of the Lord. We don't fear the Lord. We presume that we can get away with stuff. And the good news is this. This is the good news. That if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just. And when we repent of the attitude, he's instantly forgive us of the attitude. See what I'm saying? We recognize, Lord, I've not had any fear. I've feared man more than you. Or I've enjoyed the pleasures of sin for a season. You know, I've told in kind of scary verses in 2 Thessalonians that he will send strong delusion for those that loved a lie. He will send them delusion. Romans 1 says, you turn them over to a reprobate mind to do those things that are not convenient. There's a point where God says, I've had it with you. You want sin here. Wallow in it. You might as well. For all eternity, you'll regret it. So the bottom line is, what I'm trying to do today, folks, in the Word and in the Spirit, and preaching to you and to me, is don't put off repenting. Amen? Don't believe the lie that God's a patsy. He's a holy God. Folks, when he comes again, it says he will fill the sky. He's not going to be some little Jesus over on a cloud on the, you know, in the, you know, the third, 30 degrees off to the right. No, it says as the lightning goes from the, he will fill the sky. You know, he'll step down out of eternity and he'll pick up the planet Earth like you would a bead falling off a necklace. You know, you find it on the ground. That's how the planet Earth, he will fill the sky. You'll look at him. There he is, like a bee standing on a bead, looking at the person. That's a guy. You go, ah! And he says, and you were thinking I was some, what? Amen. At that point, people will run to the rocks and they will actually talk to rocks and say, please come and crush us and hide us from the face of the wrath of the Lamb. Lord, I pray this morning that you will put the fear of the Lord in our life, that we won't put off repenting, that what the Holy Ghost is convicting of, our heart will stay soft, pliable, open, receptive, Jesus. Lord, we will make short accounts. We won't wallow and sit, sulk, nurse, but Jesus will quickly stop, turn, and run to Jesus and receive forgiveness, forgive ourselves. And Lord, I pray most of all you deliver our minds from the notion we get away with stuff. That you're somehow some dummy up in the heavens, you know, kind of befuddled. And Lord Jesus, there's not a, not even a little tiny bird falls on the ground, but you're cognizant, aware. In fact, you fall with it, Jesus. Lord, forgive us for being naive and buying into the lie, the God of this world. Lord, put the fear of the Lord in our life. We can walk in peace. In fact, there's a wonderful promise, guys. One of my favorite scriptures about the fear of the Lord. This is a, let's see. I think Bo quoted this to me one time. Anyway. You know the one? The fear of the Lord, he shall not be visited with evil. Here it is. Proverbs 19:23. That was a good year. 19:23. The fear of the Lord, listen to this, the fear of the Lord tends to life, and he that has it will abide satisfied. He will not be visited with evil. Man, that's cool. Abide satisfied. You know what that means? Content. Not driven by the evil eye. You know what the evil eye is? Anybody know what the evil eye? Paul talks, Jesus said in Mark 10, it talks about a man who hath an evil eye. Solomon talks about an evil eye. It's covetousness and greed. Scripture talks about the evil eye. It's greed. Jesus said, blessed he whose eyes is simple and clear. But the evil eye is the greed, the covetousness, the want of things to satisfy, the want of things so that I can be, you know, and God wants to deliver us from the evil eye. He wants to provide our needs, praise God, but what we can live. Paul said, I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. Delaware, Oklahoma, Kansas, whatever state. Whatever state. He says, I've learned to abide, to be content. No, he couldn't be content in California. It's possible. Whether abounding or abased, on the ceiling or in the basement, praise God, I've learned to be content. Whether the checkbook is just bulging or freaking shrinking, I can be content because my God is my provider. Can you hear an amen? Amen. Praise God. Lord, I just pray. Let's right now, I just encourage you to respond to what the Holy Ghost has just whispered in your heart as I was sharing the word. And that was straight from Him, I'm telling you. Jesus. Lord, we long for the fear of the Lord. We want to abide satisfied and not be visited with evil, for crying out loud. Not evil. Now, when evil comes our way, Lord, it has to just bank left, bank right, can't come in. Praise God. And when evil occurs of any sort, you're able to turn it completely around for the good. Praise the Lord. Come, Holy Ghost. Who needs any prayer this morning? Physical, emotional, spiritual, mental.